Welcome to Energy Medicine Radio with Dr. Wu Di and E-Love, a celebration of unique healing modalities for your mind, body, and soul, opening the pathway to wellness, enlightenment, and creative living. Our mission is to share consciousness-shifting information with humanity and help people improve and transform their overall quality of health, wealth, and happiness. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, it's Dr. Wu Di, and welcome to Energy Medicine Radio. And this is our fifth show, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're with us. I have a new exciting guest this evening, and I want to tell you what the lineup is for the next month. Tonight, we have Dr. Carola Cuenca. She lives in Santa Cruz, California, and she is a special person that I've known for a while. She's a master homeopathic doctor. She does biological medicine, which she's going to speak about tonight, and then also she does this fantastic test. She comes in and sees some of my patients and does a computer regulation thermography test, and we'll talk about that. And then in 2 weeks from tonight, we have an artist coming on. She's an artist, and she does ceremonies. Her name is Lynn Ray Lowe, and we're looking forward to having her on the show. She has been a friend of mine since I've been 17 years old. I mean, she's been in my life, and she's going to share a bunch of great stuff. And then 2 weeks after that, we're already into November. I think that's the second week in November. Richard Stocker, who's a Rolfer, and not only is he a Rolfer, he's an artist. And some years ago, Richard started his son got very sick, and he started like doodling and doing different designs. And then he gave those to his son to fill in and start to color them. And unfortunately, his son passed away of a cancer. And since then, what Richard's been doing is he's been giving those designs to the hospitals and working with kids to color kids who have cancer. I mean, he's a wonderful person. And then after that, I have an astrologer coming on, and she specializes in the dark moon, sexual astrology. And she's from Germany, and then we're going to do something on facelifts and face skin in December, and then the Christmas show. So, boom, the year is over so quick. So I'd like to introduce you to a dear friend of mine and a colleague, Dr. Carola Cuenca. Carola, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to Energy Medicine Radio. And I'm so glad you're here. You're in Santa Cruz, right?
Yes, I am, Dr. Wu Di, and it's very nice out here. It's fall is starting, so it was windy today, but it's been wonderful. It was Indian summers where it's warm during the day and cool in the morning, cool in the evening. So,
right.
But we're starting the fall.
It's it's the fall, and what a special time of the year. And I know you're coming to visit me in the first week in November, and I have a lot of people lined up who want to see you and want to hear about these wonderful things you do. Could you tell our listening audience a little bit about what you do? I know that you've been practicing homeopathic medicine for years. Could you tell us the difference between homeopathic and allopathic and how you got into it? And why are you doing this great work? I mean, what's going on over there in Santa Cruz?
Oh, in Santa Cruz. Well, you know, Santa Cruz is famous for all the healers and many healing modalities, like chiropractic, energy medicine, osteopathic medicine, homeopathy, acupuncture, Reiki. I mean, it's like where everybody's coming to heal. And there's a legend that the Native Americans that were in battle would come to this area of the California, the Central Coast, and Santa Cruz to come and heal. When they were already healed, they would go back to their tribes and go back to battle. So it's a very nice area to be in to help people get better. There's sort of like this consciousness of healing and wellness all over. It must be in the air, the ocean air, the water, the food. Most of the food that's given out to the entire nation comes from here, as you know, all the organic fruits and vegetables. But so to answer your question, how is it different, homeopathy or what I do with conventional medicine? Well, homeopathy is actually a system of medicine that was founded in the early 19th century by a German physician named Samuel Hahnemann. And it's a method of very complex in forms of how you would give a remedy, for example, to a patient. In some way, it's complex, but at the same way, it's simple. But the most fundamental point I'd like to make is that it's where conventional medicine cannot really cure most diseases, homeopathy has found to have cured these illnesses. So again, we give remedies, and if you think about it, remedies are something that remedies something, that cures something, not just a medicine that will palliate or they'll just give you like a little temporary relief. So homeopathy is based on the law of similars, which states that a disease is cured by a medicine that creates symptoms similar to those in the patient's experiencing. For example, a homeopathy of, let's say, you have hay fever. You give them something that's made from the onion, or homeopathic remedy, which is the red onion. When you're cutting a red onion or any onion, your eyes are watering, your nose is running. Sometimes there's itching and or even a throat complaint to that, but it's, or they're sneezing. So when you give this remedy to a person that's displaying these same symptoms, like say with a hay fever or allergies, it will actually cure it. Okay?
Carola, why did we switch then from homeopathic to allopathic?
Well, because
why can't I get the homeopathic when I see a regular MD?
Well, because I hate to put this out there, but homeopathy is not a mysterious system of treatment, which are it's only known to, let's say, an elite group of people who practice it. It may seem this way because it's been relegated to the sidelines by conventional medicine, which thrives a monopoly. They want to monopolize the medical establishment. They want to make sure that people get their medicines because homeopathy actually cures, you see? So they want to make sure that people are, you know, trying their methods first. So it was kind of separated. But in the early 1900s, all the way to, I think, 1930s, the homeopathy was part of the curriculum in medical schools, you see?
I'm from Michigan originally, and I know the first medical school at the University of Michigan was a homeopathic school. So
yeah.
It's interesting how it sort of phased out.
Right.
But I'm glad that you're doing it and practicing it.
I'm
going to tell you
actually
a quick story.
Sure, go ahead.
When I had my second son, Damien, he had allergies to mother's milk. So, mm-hmm. You know, so my wife wanted to breastfeed, and he was allergic to it. We never heard of such a thing. But anyway, that's what they said. So they sent us to this homeopathic doctor. She had a little house out in the woods. So we drove mm-hmm. out there. It looked like Hansel and Gretel type thing, you know. And mm-hmm. the two of us are looking at each other, and we got the baby, and we're a little bit uptight. Well, anyway, we went in, and we saw this doctor, and she looked like she was, you know, the witch of somebody. Well, anyway, we went in to see her, and she said, oh, that's ridiculous. Babies can have mother's milk. And they gave us some kind of remedy, and I remember my wife taking that remedy, and within less than a week, the baby was on breast milk and fine, and he grew up strong and healthy, and whoo. So that's my story. But that's what I know about homeopathic. I wish I knew what the remedy was, but you know, I was I was 28.
I'm sure that homeopath. So this homeopath that you went to see must have asked many, many questions. You know, that must have asked. You require a detail of, for example, of who this person was, who the baby was, how it expresses itself through, you know, feelings or attitudes or this behavior, which one of them was a reaction to the mother's milk. So the homeopath must get a picture of this constitutional nature, because, for example, whatever was given to your son probably would not work for someone else's baby with the same reaction to or aversion to milk, you see? So everybody gets a different remedy, even though it might be treating the same thing, because we experience our state of out of balance, as our state of out of balance, what happens is that we display it in different forms and we experience it differently. So we need a different remedy. Everybody does, you see? So
that's the nice thing about that kind of medicine. It's individual, and I know that. I went to a lecture not too long ago, and it was on cancer, and it was at one of these centers. What was Gene Wilder's wife's name? Gilda Radner. Remember her?
Gilda Radner. She had a very
long ago.
Yeah.
She started an organization, cancer organization, like a support group. Anyway, they had a doctor there, very famous from Sloan Kettering, or you know, one of the big ones. And Kaiser, I forgot which one it was, but they were saying what they're doing now is they are taking a piece of the tumor and they're making that into a homeopathic medicine, you know, sort of, and then they're giving that to the patient. So, of course, you know, me, I raised my hand. I said, I have a question. Well, I said, they do that with every patient? And she said, oh, no, we just take a tumor from one person, and then we make the medicine up, and then we give that to everybody. So I said, wouldn't it be better if we made the tumor out of, you know, for each individual? And she said, too expensive. So I'm wondering if you could tell a little bit about how is that homeopathic? How do they even create, how do they do that medicine? It's sort of like, I know they say it's vibrational and it's energy medicine, but how would you get, let's say you were going to give me a medicine. How would they make, how does it even happen? Tell me about that. Tell everybody about that.
So what it is that they take one of the essence of, let's say, Ava Crispi, which is Apis Malefica. That's a remedy that's given to people who have edema or they have reactions, anaphylactic reactions to certain, let's say for peanuts or they it's mainly for allergies and people who develop hives or something like that, okay, or even reaction to a bee sting. So what they do, and for example, a snake remedy would be they use the venom of the snake. They won't kill the snake. A remedy made from a bird, let's say from eagle, they'll take a feather and the drop that comes out of that plus feather, they make a remedy out of that. Now, in the crushed bee, in this example, is that what they do is they make a mother tincture out of that, and then they take one drop out of that mother tincture and put it in a diluted of 99.
Your mother tincture, is that just for women?
No. No, that's for... that's just the term that's used as what is done, how it's made. It's like the essence, it's like a batch of the extraction of this crushed bee, okay? Then they take one drop of that, then they dilute that into another 99% water. And so far, and every time they take one drop, they succuss, which is what it is they shake it up and down, and what's being done is that the structure of the water is breaking at the same time as being succussed. The information in that essence or that substance is being transmitted into the water. There's information. So there's slowly it's being pulled inside. So 100 times it's sakasa, sakasa. And so every time they make, let's say a 12 C is 12 times they sakasa, I mean, 100 times they've done it 12 times. So you see, so each time they keep diluting and diluting. The more diluted it is, paradoxically, it's more potent than if it's just the lower the potency, the more the essence of that medicine in from nature is in it. But the more diluted, the stronger it is. So it's just kind of different. One is, even though there's more of the substance in the lower potency, it's weaker than the one that's in the higher potency because it's more, I guess that's what energy medicine is.
This is the, this is, it's all, it's all energetic.
Yes, exactly.
So would you say this, if a person gets sick or, you know, they have something, is it more the body sick or is it an energetic thing? What is, you know, what is, how does that work exactly?
I'm trying to ask you? No, ask me again. It wasn't clear.
Well, you know, because the medicine, the homeopathic medicine is energetic medicine, right? It's the essence of it. And so you're not really taking like an herb. You're taking like the vibration of that herb, right? So I'm saying...
Right.
So when someone gets sick, are they sick from a germ or are they sick from a vibrational imbalance?
Okay, exactly. That's what I was going to get to right now. So, you know, the human body is a system of vibrational energy. Okay, we are living in a physical body, but what moves us, what propels us to make ourselves animate is this vital force. So contrary to what conventional medicine may lead us to believe that we are prone to ill health and that bacteria and viruses are waiting to attack us, the body's innate intelligence powers us towards good health. So the life has a natural tendency to maintain the integrity and harmony in the human body and psyche and keep both us working in a joyous harmony, unison. In other words, we're prone to naturally and automatically heal. So, for example, have you ever wondered why a bud blooms, a flower blooms? It's not just because of the water or the soil or the sunlight, but the life force within it that compels it to make it bloom. The life force, by definition, is a positive and dynamic energy that tends towards survival, regeneration, self-preservation, and healing. In homeopathy, we call that vital force. So a sickness is a disturbance in this life force or this vibrational energy, okay? So what happens is that we are becoming, you know, the most important thing is that your thoughts of how you see the world is what makes you either ill or makes you healthy, okay? Now, of course, if you're exposed to chemical plants or exposures to, again, chemicals, insecticides, pesticides, or you're ingesting them, you will eventually make that body sick. But if your vital force is strong enough, you can always send it or it'll heal itself. Okay, I don't know if that was answering your question.
Hmm. Very interesting. So sickness can come from more of a mental, emotional imbalance, you're saying?
Both. For example, you know, you can become ill if your body's natural channels of energy are blocked. And you know that as an acupuncturist, that pain and certain organs are not functioning properly because that energy, those meridians, are being blocked. Okay?
Yeah, so I know it, but we're talking to the audience, not me.
Oh, yes, of course. But this is the audience are listening to this. So when this happens, the reasons could be just purely physical or psychological or both. Every other channel in the body, the flow of water, the blood, the lymph, the functioning of the neurotransmitters, your endocrine organs, your neural activity, it all begins to function in a distorted sort of way. This is what makes you sick and weak, and the body goes into a defensive mode, trying to preserve itself. See? So every person has a unique way of experiencing sickness at the biochemical and energy level. And if this pattern of disturbance and defensiveness that homeopathy, we call that, you know, disease or what we call miasm. But that goes into a little bit more deeper explanation of homeopathy. But in general, it's just that if you are being, if you're suppressing, for example, anything in your body, for example, with your own attitudes and your own feelings, or denial of a disease, or our own defenses and coping mechanisms, or even allopathic drugs. Because if you put, let's say you have psoriasis, there's something that your body is, they call it an autoimmune disorder. But why do you have that? Why is it that we don't go and look at the cause instead of just looking at the symptoms? Okay, you have the scaly skin, the itching, the rawness. Okay, so what do? They give you a cortisone cream just to stop the itching and it'll suppress it, but it drives it deeper into the body. So instead of going to the cause, the more suppressed the body is, the more layers start creating and then more diseases start to happen. Because maybe you're suppressing, you know, that ailment might disappear, the itching, but something else will show up. You see, maybe weeks later or months later or even years later. Okay?
So, nice.
Was that understood?
Yeah. I know a lot of times that I know you have so much knowledge, and we're trying to explain this to a lot of people out there who have no knowledge of this at all. So I get
okay.
it. Now, I was in Europe a few years ago, and I had the opportunity to intern with one of my teachers, Thomas Rau, and I know that you know Dr. Rau, and you're also very familiar with homeopathic, with his form of medicine. You know, it's different
biological
than medicine in the United States. And I'm wondering if you can explain. It's called, he calls it Swiss biological medicine. And
right.
I know
so,
when I asked him about it, he said it is just logical medicine. But maybe you can tell people a little bit more about what that means.
Yes, I will tell you also. I also did train with Dr. Rao back in the late 90s, and I just recently was there at the early beginning of this year and did another week-long
nice.
Internship with him, which was great to get this kind of a refresher course, and maybe there's new
things. And what is that about?
Biological medicine.
How is that medicine different than what we do here in the United States? How is it different than homeopathic medicine?
Well, homeopathy is included in biological medicine. So biological medicine is the science and the practice and the art of healing that is just not only complementary or alternative, but it's a fundamental form of medicine that helps everyone and can serve almost every illness. And the mission of it is not to suppress or just to band-aid, like what I was explaining earlier, on individuals' particular symptoms. On the contrary, biological medicine has one and only objective: identify the disorders, the imbalances, the weaknesses in the human's regulatory system. So to get to the root of them and heal them, balance and harmonize them, that's what our purpose in biological medicine is. So it's by no means a new age philosophy, but one that has been used for thousands of years in some of history's greatest medical masters, and based on the physiology and the body's processes down to the cellular level. So biological means, of course, logical, like Dr. Rao said to you, but bio means life, logical life. See? So what makes sense? You have to see the entire person as a whole, okay? So instead of, like, conventional medicine, we'll just look, I have an ache, I have a backache. Well, instead of asking why there is a backache, did you fall? No. Well, maybe it's just old age. Here, take this medicine for the pain. Or I'm having insomnia. I can't sleep. So what do? They give them a sleep aid instead of finding out what is the cause. Or I'm depressed. The first thing they do is, here's an antidepressant. but it could be a hormonal problem. It could be a chemical imbalance in the brain. What is the cause? You know, and go through all these different avenues, which is, and again, that's where thermography comes into play, which is the other thing I do. We'll get into it later. But going back to biological medicine, our main purpose is to the full restoration of this individual's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. That's the purpose of biological medicine. Okay? It could be through orthomolecular medicine, which is lots of vitamins, or it could be through naturopathic medicine. It could be through traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, or homeopathic, herbs, you know, detoxification, maybe correcting the mind and the body, lymphatic drainage, electromagnetic stimulation, Reiki, acupuncture, chiropractic. I mean, I can go on for all these natural methods
right.
of treating, of course, you see?
Well, I know that Dr. Rao is a medical doctor and he uses medicine. I know that when
yes.
I was there, they were using chemotherapy, you know, on some patients, injecting that mm-hmm. into tumors and stuff. But what I like about it, you know, and what I think that we should really share with everybody is when you go into a clinic like that, you don't get like a treatment. You know, when you come into even my office, you come into my office and you get acupuncture, maybe you get homeopathic or herbal medicine. But there, I was in that clinic for 8 hours being treated. I got mm-hmm. 6 or 8 treatments in a day. And
yes.
for some reason, maybe it's the insurance companies, maybe cost effectiveness, I'm not sure. But people get well there. And
yes,
I don't
they
know
do.
If,
well, they do get well because they go there just to get treated. They don't go often like, okay, now I came for a acupuncture treatment, I got my homeopathic remedy, I got a chiropractic adjustment, now I'm going to take all these vitamins, and then they go home to the same stresses, the same mental attitude, the same exposure to probably conventional foods, go to restaurants, they're cooking with the wrong pots and pans, maybe they should be using stainless steel instead of the Teflon, which, you know, once it's heated, it will exude some fumes that are poisonous. So, and then that's inhaled, that's put into the food. So they won't get better. So when they go to these clinics in Europe or wherever, they stay there 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes up to 4 weeks. And they get, like you said, 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours of treatments of different. They get hydrocolon therapy, which is colonics. They go through injections, they go through massages, they go through injections of homeopathic remedies, pleomorphic remedies, which we can get into later. But they all do this because it's to help the body, the human body, get back into a balanced state. So a strong immune system, a strong vital force, so then the body can reject all these things and be able to handle anything that comes along, either stress, work, you know, any kind of illness. It's okay to have a cold, but you can have a cold, maybe, you know, okay, I got a little bit of the sniffles, take vitamin C. If your immune system is strong enough, you'll fight it in less than 24 hours, you're fine, you know. So, but what do? We suppress it. Oh, I got a fever, which a fever is something normal and natural and good for you because it's going to kill all microbes, it's going to kill bacteria or even viruses. And what we do, we take a Tylenol, we take an aspirin. Just, unless it's over 104, you don't want to go into convulsions, of course. But if it's below that, there's other ways there's homeopathic remedies. There's, for example, Belladonna or Bryonia, or I mean, there's other ones that can bring down your remedy, aconite. But first of all, you can just let the fever, if it's too high, then of course you got to go to something to bring it down so you don't, again, don't have those convulsions. But if it's low enough, let it be so that it can kill that bacteria. We don't do that. We're talking
right.
like, oh, no. You see?
Did you give these remedies to your family? Or
I did, and I do at this point. They always call me, what do I do for this, Mom? And I immediately tell them, okay, go do this, do this. You see?
Carole, I have a question. I know that you've been trained and you know really well that testing equipment that they use in Europe to determine and look at someone's health maybe 6 months to a year before they even get a symptom. I know that usually in the West, at least, you know, how I've been brought mm-hmm. up when I was, you know, a kid, mm-hmm. you would only go to the doctor if you didn't feel well, and then you get a checkup
right.
once a year. And mm-hmm. I know in Europe and a lot of the, you know, the advanced clinics in the United States are doing different testings, and I know that you do yeah. that special test and computer regulation thermography. And in fact, I know that you're definitely coming to my clinic to see a bunch of people, and I want to
yeah.
know, can you explain exactly how you get to peek into someone's health 6 months before and treat them before they get sick?
Yes, yes. Okay, so it's
Tell us about it.
Okay. So computerized regulation thermography, which is CRT. It should not be confused with regular thermograms that were used in the past to look superficially at the body. The computerized regulation thermography is approved by the FDA as a diagnostic medical device used to determine the efficiency of your regulatory system. It's able to locate disease processes in the organs long before any laboratory test or scanning images will show even a hint of a problem. So it's been used in Europe, over 1,500 practitioners over there, and it's considered a state-of-the-art, unlike, you know, many other testing devices used by alternative care practitioners. The CRT is something that is objective and can be done over again after a treatment, let's say after 2 or 3 months of treating, that you found something in the first test. You retest again after 3 months and you see that, wow, this person got better, this organ doesn't need any more of this treatment. Then you can go to the next one or possibly got resolved with whatever treatment.
How does it work exactly?
Okay, it's a non-invasive, painless and radiation-free body scan. Okay, it can find hidden infections and dysfunctions.
Like an MRI?
Well, yeah, the MRI is an image of, you know, it's a magnetic resonance imaging. That's what MRI is, and that one you actually get almost like an X-ray, but it's through the image you get is through a magnetic instead of an X-ray. Okay.
And how does your machine work?
And so this one. Well, this one measures the skin temperature of the body organs, which is done through, it's determined by the influence of the nervous system interventions in the capillary beds. So they constrict or dilate in response to the cool air. So the thermography is very specific to a unique biochemical profile. So as a nervous system reacts...
Can you explain that in layman terms?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah.
Okay.
So when the nervous system reacts to that cool air, you're being exposed. So you walk into the clinic, you're going to get a test done. Your body is at a warm state. So you do the test, the first measurement, which includes 120 points. Then you ask the patient to remove their clothes, and they're exposed to a temperature between 69 and 72 degrees. It can be anywhere within that range. And then the body will adjust to that change of temperature, okay? And when it's adjusting, it's analogous to, for example, fight or flight reaction. That's the reaction you get. So it sends a signal to the spinal cord through the nerve that supply the organs of that region. They continue to the skin's capillary bed, where temperatures providing organ and tissue health information can be measured. So you're not really measuring the organ itself. The through the capillary beds that go up to the surface of the skin. So you're measuring on the surface of the skin, you see? So then we do a second test after the body has cooled for 10 minutes, okay? And we will have a before and after. If the body or these organs are at optimal level, then they will show that they reacted, they regulated, to the change of temperature normally, and there's nothing to look at, they're fine. But if there's something that is blocked, that is not regulating, or there's inflammation, or there's hypofunctioning, underfunctioning, then we have to look at that organ. And then we could find possibly, you know, a lymph inflammation, or there's a viral picture that maybe the thymus gland is in reacting differently than it's supposed to be. Instead of cooling, it went up into heating mode. Or the thyroid is underfunctioning, because you can also measure the endocrine system, the lymphatic system, the teeth on the surface of the skin. In case the teeth have, you know, there's a connection now of teeth that are ill or are diseased, or they're full of bacteria, with, let's say with a root canal, then that connection of that tooth with a different organ or different systems in your body could be reacting to that bacteria, and there might be an infection, and it can show as a blockage in the teeth, and then there's a connection of that tooth with an organ. So we look at it, oh, that's because of the teeth. You might need to get that root canal removed, or you need to get rid of mm-hmm. those heavy metals, which are usually through the amalgam fillings, and because they leak mercury, they leak all that, and so it makes your body toxic. It will affect your lymph system, okay? So I think that basically, and what it does, it's compared to if we find something, let's say, suspicious in the breath, and you have to meet 6 or more out of 12 criteria. For example, there's a blockage in the breath. There's a blockage point in the either breath. There's a side-to-side difference in each breath. Or there's a opposite ovary to opposite breath. There's a deregulation there. There might be a cold stomach. There might be a tonsil or lymph blockage. There might be a sternum block. You know, so there's different points that you start counting, and when there's more, 6 or more, then you actually tell the patient you need to go to your doctor and have them ask to go get an MRI first. If your insurance doesn't cover that, then ask to get a digital mammogram, which is less exposure to x-rays and or an ultrasound. But those would be the ways to go through. And we recommend that when we see anything that is suspicious.
Wow. Well, that's real exciting. And how long does it take to do that? How do you figure this out?
Well, it takes 30 minutes, even though we're we're measuring the teeth, the thyroid, the lymph, the lungs, the stomach, the upper abdomen, your liver, the lower abdomen, your colon, ovaries, the prostate, all those, including the breast and the kidneys. But we also see how severe that condition is, and if there's anything that's toxic, okay, or any degeneration. It only takes 30 minutes, 10 minutes to do the first reading, 10 minutes to cool, and then 10 minutes to retest. And then immediately we print it out and we go over the results with the patient at that moment.
And this way you tell people exactly. And then once you find out this information, do you send them to their doctor?
Right. For example, if there's something in the mouth, let's say in the teeth, okay, I would recommend you go to your dentist and ask them to take a panoramic x-ray of your mouth, okay, to see if there's any infections that are maybe in those root canals or something in the jawbone that's creating this blockage in the organ, okay? Or I say, you know what, I would suggest you go to the doctor, and if there's something suspicious in the breast, to see if you can get an MRI or a digital mammogram or an ultrasound, just to make sure that there's nothing going on there, you see?
Oh.
Or they can go ahead, okay, you know what, we found something in your neck or in your lower back, because it does also measure some parts of the spine. You might need some chiropractic adjustments, or you might need some acupuncture, you know, to help heal, bring back some of this blood flow or nerve, the meridians being corrected again, so that organ might be treated again.
I definitely want you giving me a test when you come to Florida.
I will.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Anyway, once you, now we got the test, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to see whatever it is, you know, whatever's, you know, if it's my tooth or my heart or my, and then I know you'd send me to my dentist for the tooth, but let's say it's my heart. Do you send me to the cardiologist or do you treat it with homeopathics or what? How do we?
It could be.
You send,
we can ask,
send people to different treatments. Tell us how you're, how that's
okay,
treated.
Okay, so if I see something that is, could be treated with herbs or with homeopathy at that moment, I would recommend, okay, these are the things you would need. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And if they want to, let's say, get treated by you or by someone or by their own chiropractor or their own, and this doctor provides this treatment or list of nutritional, let's say, supplements or homeopathic remedies, then I would give them a list of the things that they need, and then they can go ahead and ask your doctor to give them to them, order them for them, or they can go ahead and get some of these vitamins, some of these herbs at the local health food store. You know, but if there's, for example, if there's a problem, maybe improper diet or nutritional deficiency or a toxic heavy metal exposure to, you know, some chemicals like mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, etc., then they need to detox. And there's certain herbs that you are probably familiar with that are they come from Germany. And there's a three that treat the kidneys, the lymphatic system, and the liver, which are the organs of detoxification in the body. So we put them on that for, let's say, a treatment of 60 days, and then let them rest, and then see for another test. They come back, and most likely it's already been resolved. And that's a gentle way of doing it, but they're very effective. Okay?
Right.
Some people do it through other methods that are a little bit more aggressive, but this is a way that people kind of comply.
Could you tell us about one of your successes, you know, like one of the people that you saw and found something and treated them, and now they're, you know,
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this woman came to me. She was very, very, concerned because I did a thermography on her, and her hormone system was completely imbalanced. She is a young woman. She's a 34 years old, and she wanted to get pregnant. She says, my clock is ticking and I need to have a baby. And she's an acupuncturist, and she could not have babies. They were trying everything. For the last 2 years, they had been trying herbs. They had been trying acupuncture. They had been trying all kinds of methods, and they didn't want to go the conventional method of fertility drugs. So she came to me, and I did a thermography, and I found, well, your hormones are off, even though you are doing all these things. So I put her on a German homeopathic drop tinctures and balance her hormones. I also took her homeopathic case, which is a very detailed form of finding out about her history, childhood, her life, how she experiences life and everything. And I gave her her homeopathic constitutional remedy. And
what
believe
does
it
that
or not,
mean?
Well, I cannot give you because I can give you the name of her remedy. But
does that mean, her homeopathic constitutional?
Constitutional. But. Well, it's the remedy that she needs for her own vital force to be strong. And it could be because she had a lot of issues with her father. So there was a component of physical and emotional blockage. And so she needed this remedy that addresses both those things. Okay, so I saw her as a whole, not just, oh, she can't have babies. What is the cause of it? You know, her mental attitude, her lifestyle, how she had been raised. And so anyway, so she got her homeopathic remedy. She got the tinctures. And within 3 months, she was pregnant. So that's a very successful story that I'd like to share. And
that's
nice. Mm-hmm.
And how did the baby come out?
The baby, she's already a year and a half old. She's beautiful, healthy, and she was nursed for a year and a half, and she's already walking around and saying her first words.
Breaking
things.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Starting those terrible twos. Yeah, exactly.
So. Well, that's really great. Well, you know, when we take, you know, the whole thing, like you said, biological medicine and homeopathic medicine being part of it, the thermography, you know, being part of the thing, can you tell us anything about this new thing that we're hearing about, this pandemic and, you know, and lowering the population of the planet?
Ebola.
What do you think of that? Is that for real?
With the Ebola, you mean?
Yeah, they're starting to scare all of us, you know? Whoa!
Yeah. Okay, well, I got a call from my daughter, and she said, what do I do, Mom? And I said, okay, well, the first thing you need to do is definitely strengthen your immune system. Take your constitutional remedy that I gave you, and that will be, try not to expose yourself, because if that's really the truth, that it is actually happening in the country. And so far we have, what, 2 cases so far, one, both from Texas, okay? And just make sure, I believe that it's not necessarily just by contact or by body fluids. I think it's also airborne, you see? It's like you think the chicken pox, let's say, and I know the chicken pox is, people don't die from it, okay? But chicken pox, they say that it's transmittable when the pustules, the little blisters are in there. So don't contact. No, even when they dry up and you have the little scab, that cells go airborne and we breathe it, we get it. So the virus is there, you see? So it's something that you just need to be protected, make sure that you have a strong immune system, take your vitamins, eat well, stay away from, stay away from hospitals. But yes, those are the kind of things. And I don't think it's that serious. Don't forget that we are in a very, in a country that the medical system, or the hospitals, I would like to say, because they're mainly, most doctors are trained for emergencies. I really respect emergency room doctors. If they come to me with a cut off limb or a bullet wound, I'm sorry, but I'm calling 911. I can't help them. You know, I maybe can help them put in a tourniquet if they have a cut off limb, but they need to get to a hospital. So these doctors are saving lives. So it's the same thing when you are, exposed to certain things. You need to make sure that you go see a doctor immediately if you feel that you've been exposed to something. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, Dr. Woody.
That does. Listen, I have a caller calling in. Mike's on the line, and he wants to ask a question. So could you patch Mike in?
Sure.
Hello, doctor.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I'm Mike.
Thanks
in California.
Pardon
Thank
me?
You very much. I produce the show that follows yours, doctor. The People
All right.
Speak, and I was listening into your show. Last night we had on Dr. C.J. Peters, who was an Ebola researcher and worked for the CDC and led the campaign again in Zaire, Africa in 1995. And he told us if Ebola becomes an epidemic in the USA, we are not equipped to handle it. We just under-resourced, understaffed, under-educated. And this latest incident with the nurse in Texas who caught it, you know, the CDC is backtracking and saying you're going to re-examine the protocols, et cetera. What do you suggest Americans do to protect themselves from possible infection, or do you have any experience with this?
I personally don't have any experience.
You know, it's a real new subject for all of us, and I don't have a lot of time. We only have about 5 minutes of the show, but I've heard a lot from doctors. I talked to Dr. Klatz. He's a friend. He runs the A4M. That's an anti-aging group, and they're talking about high doses of, silver. What is the, silver, you know, when you take a homeopathic silver, what is that called? I forget the name of it right now.
Colloidal.
Dr. Woody? Colloidal
silver. And then I've also, I have some formulas on Chinese herbs that I'm checking out right now, and we'll talk about that more on another show, because that's a whole couple hours of, of talking about that. Anyway, I wanted to thank you, Dr. Cuenca, for being on the show and sharing your information. And Mike, thank you for your call. We're going to do the show again in 2 weeks when I'm going to have Lynn Ray Lowe on, and she'll be talking about ceremonies, and she'll talk about how the creativity with your art works and how we're going to tie that whole thing in to creativity, art, medicine. And we're going to continue doing these type of shows where we bring on doctors, healers, artists, shamans, medicine people, to try and open up this whole thing so we can all heal, because, you know, it's a threat to the planet, these, you know, these new diseases. Interesting enough, it came out of Africa. So did AIDS come out of Africa. So they put a lot of this thing. So, you know, some of us, you know, we're wondering if the idea is to lower the population on the planet, or what's exactly going on. And I'm doing a lot of research on it and working with quite a few natural and medical doctors here in Florida. And so far, everybody's going, whoa, a little bit scary, but hopefully we're going to resolve it. So, Dr. Cuenca, did you have a final word?
Yes. Again, there are homeopathic remedies that can help some of the symptoms of Ebola, but I don't want to get into that because it's very, again, controversial. And second, it would be take another hour for us to go over that. But yes, I agree with you, Dr. Woody, about that it could be, it's coming from Africa. AIDS came from there. The previous Ebola epidemic came from there as well. This is a second time, and it's a different strain, by the way. I got to let you know that. And so it could be that they're being used to create new vaccines, create new medicines. I don't want to go into the undercover the type of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy stuff, and I guess we're going to leave that up to Coast to Coast Radio.
I thank you
very much, everybody, for coming on and sharing your knowledge, and I look forward to having you on the show again in a few weeks. I know Dr. Cuenca will be at my clinic, in Aventura, Florida, in first week in November, and she'll be testing people. So if anybody's interested, you can get the information from the show or call the office, 305-407-0120, and would be more than happy to schedule you in, or if you just want to chat, give me a call. It's Dr. Wu thanking everybody for being on the show, and we're going to keep bringing you some great information and ways to heal your body, mind, and soul. So it's Dr. Wu for Energy Medicine and Energy Medicine Radio. So until next time, I'd sing that Happy Trails song to you, but I think we've got something that we can sign out with and let everybody know how much we love you and appreciate you, and appreciate you putting your energy in to listening to these different subjects on how can we make our body, mind, soul healthy, happy. You know, it's a real blessing to be on the radio, to be able to talk to all of you and share this. So if you have any questions, please, on our next show, make sure you call in. I'd love to hear from you. And Mike, I appreciate your call. Okay? So if you're there, Don, sign us off. We love you all, and stay healthy, stay happy.
Join us every first and third Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or listen again online at bbsradio.com/energymedicineradio. Wishing you the best in your health, wealth, and happiness.